Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord and good morning. Welcome to our broadcast today. You're dialed into Maximum Radio, and we're on the Global Time with Jesus Christ. And today, of course, is known among us as the day we celebrate Christmas or Christmas Day. And this broadcast, as has many gone by and more to come, God willing, is a global prayer cast dedicated to interceding for the fulfillment of God's purposes concerning the nations and the earth. The Father's gift to the Son is the inheritance of the nations and the utmost parts of the earth. Well, today is Wednesday, December 25th. Trust that you had a wonderful season of rest and you're feeling well today and probably a little bit tired from preparations you've been making either to entertain and welcome family and friends or to go someplace where you'll be with family and friends. In either case, I trust that you will have a just awesome and wonderful day. I'm your host, Aubrey L. Gregory, for the next few minutes. I consider myself awesomely favored, divinely powered, and blessed, especially on this day. Welcome, and thank you for joining us on this day. Well, our focus today is the gift. We're focused on the gift. Well, today is a day where people give and for whatever reason, you know, they share with their loved ones, they give and receive gifts. But we're focused not on gifts coming from Macy's or Bloomingdale's department stores, from the shopping mall, per se. We're focused on the gift. The gift. The definite article, the, in front of the word gift, because it's a gift like no other. And the gift was that the Father gave his Son for you and I. Wow. And what we're supposedly celebrating is the advent or arrival of that Son, the God person himself in human form. Let us take a quick look at what the Word of God has to say about that. And it is my prayer today that we can get some wonderful nourishment out of that. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11 through 12. That's Matthew chapter 2, verse 11 to 12. It says, "When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house," mark the house, "they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." Verse 12, "And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." I've looked at that scripture for many, many years, even from a child, being taught that in school and in Sunday school. Very fascinating. Very fascinating record of what happened a few thousand years ago. It says, "And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy." I trust that you bring exceeding great joy to this day that God has given to us. Now, these men came from the east. And in the scriptures, the east is always, or rather, the boundaries, east, west, north, and south, usually are with reference to Jerusalem. So they came from the east of Jerusalem. And if we do our research and our homework, we discover that they came from Babylon. That's where they came from. And they were told, based on the records in Babylon, that they would see this star and they were to follow this star. So they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. "And when they were come into the house," now notice it doesn't say stable. Now he was born in the stable, in the manger, right among the livestock. A kind of feeding trough or something, you know, prepped with hay and all the other things that would make a mother would make a baby comfortable. So they came into the house. So these men from the east, when they saw Jesus, he was already in a house. Parents were in a house with the baby. And they saw the child with Mary and his mother, and they fell down and they worshipped him. Well, that's what we're to do for the rest of our lives. Worship him. Worship him. That's the initial response. And then they opened their treasures. They brought gifts. So they came prepared not only to worship, but to bring him gifts. Very expensive gifts. And God had prearranged all of that providentially. What I mean by that is, if you read the rest of the record in the Gospels, an angel appeared to Joseph and warned him to take the child to Babylon. I'm sorry, forgive me, to Egypt. To keep the child safe from Herod the king of that region who had sent out an edict that all boys of a certain age, literally babies, would be destroyed because he was afraid of being disposed or replaced by some other young king. So God warned Joseph, the father. And by the way, Joseph was not the biological father of Jesus. He's a stepfather. Hello. He was not the biological father. He was a stepfather. We think all the best things come under the best conditions and the perfect conditions. Well, God can work with anything that he chooses to work with. Anyway, so the father functioned as the father, as if he was a biological. He wanted to protect his family, so he was obedient and went to Egypt. Now, why am I talking about that? This goes back to the gifts that the wise men, the magi, as they called them in those days, brought from Babylon. Now, we don't think that Joseph had enough money that he walked with the idea that he was going to spend 2 years in Egypt. He had to provide for his family for that time. He didn't know that he was going to end up in Egypt. But guess what? God provided. He had gold, incense, had myrrh, other gifts. Very expensive stuff in those days. And gold still is expensive right now. So it makes sense that this is the supply financially for the time, because they spent 2 years in Egypt. Where is Egypt? Egypt is in Africa. If you look at the map of Africa, you see Egypt right up north on the top. Egypt is a country in Africa. Please remember that. So what does that say? Jesus was a refugee in Africa. You usually don't hear this kind of teaching, but it's there for you to look at. It's there in the scriptures. It's right there. He was a refugee in Africa. There's so much embedded in what we're saying, what's in the word, that we just gloss over. We just read over it and really don't process to that extent. But there's so much there. So for 2 years, the Father in heaven took care of his son in Africa. They didn't go without food or without shelter. 2 years. Wow. When they returned, as was directed by heaven, Herod was already dead. He died. And that's the end result of the enemy and adversary of the King of Kings. They ultimately cease to have any power, influence, or existence to oppose. Okay. Let's back up just for a minute. I'm sharing this with you because it's the best time of the year to share this, and it's so awesome, so wonderful. Now, here's what happened. We said that and established that these magi, these men, came from the east, and it refers to Babylon indirectly, east of Jerusalem. So they came. How did they know that there was going to be a star? There was the impending birth of a king. How did they know that? Well, Daniel, the prophet Daniel, was captured by the king of Babylon, among others, taken to Babylon as a youngster. Daniel grew. Daniel matured into a full-fledged adult while still serving God, praying three times a day. And he worked for the government. That's right. It doesn't say it that way in the scriptures, but that's what in fact happened. He worked for the government, and the government was headed up by the king of Babylon. So Daniel was known to the king, because in the record of Daniel, we see it is said of Daniel by the king, "I see an excellent man, a spirit in this man." So the king must have known Daniel. And Daniel must have been the kind of believer that people can tolerate around them. You know, they're believers that people can't tolerate. Now, I'll tell you why. Because they're Bible thumpers. They just walk around. They can't tell you the time of the day. They can't tell you or share with you what's on the news. They can only quote scriptures. And on their workstations, they have all kinds of Christian signs. And they don't mingle with the other employees. They're standoffish. And they can't carry a straight conversation. If you're talking about anything, they just have to, you know, revert to the Bible, you know. And that's, you know, the Bible is our book and our standard, but certainly we're humans and social beings, and we ought to be able to be pleasant and have people welcome our presence, because they don't know what they're necessarily seeing, but they sense the presence, they sense God, and they're brought to attention, not in an offensive way, but in a great way. So anyway, Daniel walked up and down the halls of government doing his work. And it was Daniel, because he knew the scriptures, he knew the Old Testament scriptures that prophesied of the impending birth of Jesus Christ. You take Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 through 10. It says, "Unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government should be upon his shoulders." It gives that's a prophecy about 700 years or so, almost 800, before the birth of Christ. Isaiah prophesied that. So Daniel wrote the prophecy into the Babylonian records because he had access to the records. He worked in the government. That is where the Magi got their readings and instructions from. Isn't that interesting? It's interesting because we see how God works providentially. Way, way, and we think our lives are insignificant. You think your life is insignificant? No, it isn't. God wants to use you. So we worship, that's what we're doing. We worship Him, the gift. The gift. And what's further interesting is that the Magi brought gifts. They came and worshipped Him. We came to Him. We had no gift. No gift. But yet we were still loved and welcomed. No gift. Well, what gift did you have? None. The only thing we had was ashes. Our life was burned. to the ground. That's why we call for help. Men usually don't call for help unless they need help. And even sometimes then they won't. So we came empty-handed, no gift. Yet he welcomed and loved us. Hallelujah. Time to praise the Lord. Time to worship. That's what our intro song says. Now is the time to worship. No gift and loved. Wow. Unlike the wise men, the men from Babylon, they departed into their own country another way. God has given you and us another way. Wow. I love that. Well, once again, welcome to you. Just wanted to share that wonderful story, truth, reality with you. I couldn't resist it because it's on my heart. It's true, and it causes me to praise and to worship him. I say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Your lines are open. Welcome. God bless you. If you'd like to share a comment or an insight, today is, it's called Christmas Day, and that's okay. Of course, Jesus was not born on the 25th of December, in case you didn't know that. Just wanted to remind you. It doesn't matter. We celebrate him every day of the year, and that's what we should. And today is one of them. Today we have a holiday around which we can meditate and contemplate what God has done. Jesus was not born on the 25th of December. Because if you noticed in the scripture, verse 11, it says, and when they were come into the house, the wise men found Joseph and his family in a house. They were not in a stable. He was born in a stable, but by this time he was probably about 3 months old. And you say, well, the shepherds were out at night. Well, that doesn't happen in the Middle East in the wintertime. Just recently, in the last couple of weeks, Jerusalem had one of the worst snowstorms in 60 years, including that whole region, which includes Jordan as well, the hills of Judea. Well, no shepherds are out during this time of the year, watching their flocks by night. Nope, not at all. That only happens during the cooler, or rather less cooler or warmer weather and summertime. This has happened during the winter, so there goes our myth about the 25th of December. But anyway, your lines are open. If you have an anecdotal comment or a praise report or a prayer request on this awesome day, well, I invite you to share it with us even now. Now is a good time. Let's give breath to our thoughts, our prayer requests, our praise report. Remember, we are here to worship him on this day, and we're telling the story of what the Father has done even before we were born. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Welcome. Good morning. You're on Global Time with Jesus Christ. Yes.
Come, let us adore.
Yes.
Come, let us adore.
Adore him. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Hallelujah. Yes.
Salvation.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You. Eternal life. Thank you. Hallelujah. Can't be bought. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
God is awesome. Yes. Totally awesome. Hallelujah. Bless his name. Bless his name. Bless his name. We're alive to see another season such as this. We're alive. God is awesome. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Praise his name. Father, we thank you for the gift. Hallelujah. Like no other gift, the person of Jesus Christ himself. You're anointed. You're king. That you have set on the holy hill of Zion. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Bless name. Bless your name. Thank you.
And he shall be called Wonderful. Hallelujah. Counselor. Almighty God.
Hallelujah.
You are the Prince of Peace.
Lord.
Yes, God. And
yes.
Father. Hallelujah.
Yes.
God.
Praise your name, Lord. Your name is above every other name.
Name.
Hallelujah. The sound of your name, every knee shall bow. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Praise
you,
name. We bow our peace.
Thank you, Lord.
We bow
God. God. Yes, this morning we seek your face, O Jacob, Selah. Yes, Lord, it says this is the generation of them that seek his face, that seek his face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be lifted up the everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in.
Hallelujah.
He is the King of glory, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and even lift them up the everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts.
Yes.
He is the King of glory. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise his name. Praise his name.
Lord of all.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Father, we thank you.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Bless your name.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, God is awesome. It's only when you put everything in proper perspective, what we do, we put it in proper perspective that we really are able to have the joy that God intended. Joy. Yes. Remember joy. Luke in his second chapter in the 11th verse says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God in a human form, descending in human form to be among us. And his name shall be Emmanuel, God with us. Wow. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. We cannot praise you enough. We cannot praise you. We worship you. We bow at your feet. Because you're God, you're King.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Our tongues are too short to give you enough praise. Hallelujah. But praise your name anyhow. All right, well, let us go and continue our celebration with our families, our loved ones. We trust that everyone that's on with us has the opportunity to be with family and or friends. And we just sit around, and God doesn't mind us having a good feast. So you may not want to count calories today. It's okay. Tomorrow you can start. And just by way of announcement, on the 5th of January, at midnight on the 4th, actually, we begin a 21-day Daniel fast. And the fast goes until midnight of the 24th. Of the 25th. And then there ends that fast. But it's a consecration. It's a Daniel-type fast for 21 days. And it's really a partial fast in that we only consume vegetables. Well, plant products, let's put it that way. No animal products. We consume plant products. Could be green vegetables, beans, peas, rice, anything that's derived from a plant source. So during the 21 days, we'll be what I would call plant strong. And the reason we're doing this is a consecration. And we're consecrating ourselves to stand and to engage in resisting the adversary all year long. Resisting the adversary. The apostle said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Well, we're going to engage in active resistance. Paul also warned us, he says, you don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, etc., etc. Well, wrestling is full combat. That's why we're consecrating for war. We're consecrating for combat. We wrestle. In other words, we're resisting every attack, every approach of the adversary on our being, our lives, our walk with God, our purpose in God, our destiny. We're standing in combat for our families. So we're learning we don't fight with our children. We fight for them. Somebody should lay hold of that. We don't fight with them. We fight for them. So 21 days of full combat preparation. Hallelujah. Well, may God bless you today. And I would say have a wonderful Christmas day. This day, eat, drink, and be merry. Send portions for those for whom nothing has been prepared. Father, we thank you for the joy that we have, that you've given to us. And we thank you, Lord, that anyone, because of the gift, can approach you, can come to you. And they don't have to bring a gift. You welcome them, and they are loved first by you. We pray for those that may be oppressed and depressed on this day. We pray that they would find you. They will seek you out like the wise men did. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
May God bless you. Thank you for joining us. You may go back to chores of getting ready, and that's what I'll be doing. We're doing it our house. So God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. See you on Thursday morning. Join us. Thank you for joining us today.
God bless everyone. God bless.
God bless.
Thank you. Join.